Oh man.
There's a Justin Bieber.
He's pretty good. And he's a Christian kind of, I think.
Not my place to judge, but I do regularly. Depending on whether I like a song or not.
Right.
Like, he's a Christian today, because I'm all up in this one. But the whole, you know, holy, holy, holy one, I was like, that's crap, he's not a Christian.
Holy, holy, holy. There's a new movie on Netflix called A Week Away. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay.
Is it about Justin Bieber?
No, it's better. It's about a rebellious teenager. It's a sad story. He's in foster homes. But he goes to church camp. He goes to a Christian camp and falls in love with the director's daughter. And the director is played by the same guy who plays Todd Packer in The Office, which is a very strange casting choice. But the best thing about it is that it's a musical. It's like High School Musical went to church camp.
What?
It's incredible.
What?
Literally, I watched it
like
last week.
I'm either going to really desperately hate it or, you know, desperately love it.
We went into it like, this is going to be absurd. And it is absurd, but we enjoyed it because it was because of the absurdity. At one point, they're all a cappella singing Our God is an Awesome God around a campfire. It's ridiculous.
Little Rich Mullins song there. Rich Mullins the Great. If you don't know him, look him up.
They also sing, actually, I don't want to ruin it, but a very famous Michael W. Smith song. Takes me back.
I mean, old school is the best school.
Right. Let's get into this.
Is that enough of an introduction?
I don't know if that was an introduction at all. We just got sidetracked. Hello, and welcome to the Go Make Pod. Today's episode is just Chloe and myself, but don't let that deter you.
Just the two of us building castles in the sky. Just the two of us. Musical episode. See what it is there.
Full circle.
Refined moment.
We wanted to talk about a couple things that made that the last episode made us think about. So James brought up some really good stuff, just in general, but about how he relates to God, and how we can relate to God in just about everything. So they got us thinking, like, how do we relate to God? How do we connect with God? Is there something that, you know, has changed over the last year because of lockdown? Is there something that we've seen other people connect to God with that we've never done? I don't know. We're just going to talk about it and see how it goes. Hey, Chloe, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. I'm great. Let's talk about relating to God.
Let's.
I really enjoyed James's podcast. I listened to it back and some of the things he said made me think again. And it's an interesting conversation to have with people. How do you relate to God? Because it's so individual for so many people. So no two people have the same conversation about this, but yet I do find sometimes I find my tribe of people who are similar to me, and then we bounce back stories about things, and it is lovely to have the validation of a familiarity and a similarity in somebody else's experience. And then you go sometimes to Christian conferences and they platform the one kind of approach where you're like, I'm not like you, and I feel weird now and also inferior. I'm gonna back off. Yeah, we thought that today would be good to have a honest conversation about how we relate to God. And like Andrew said, maybe what has changed in the past couple of years.
So as any good podcaster does, or average podcaster or bad podcaster, I did a little bit of research about 30 minutes ago. Because I remember a while back, I took a test or a quiz, an online quiz about spiritual pathways. It was kind of a BuzzFeed sort of thing. I've taken more BuzzFeed quizzes than I would like to admit. But this one was actually helpful. This was like a BuzzFeed quiz about like connecting to God. And I think the answers or like the results really weren't shocking.
What BuzzFeed quiz results are shocking. I feel like all BuzzFeed quiz results do is reflect what you want to be true about yourself back to yourself. Like, oh, that's so shocking.
But sure. the results of the spiritual pathways thing was not surprising.
It was obviously valid and true.
It was valid and true. It never changes.
So tell us what were you, I'm dying to know. I'm literally like on the edge of my seat here. What were your BuzzFeed quiz spiritual pathways?
Okay, it wasn't from BuzzFeed, but it was a BuzzFeed style quiz. Basically, I connect to God mainly through nature. I think, yeah, nature was my highest one. Seeing creation, being out in the middle of the beauty of the forest or the woods or the mountains or a lake or something, and seeing God's creation is the way that I feel closest to God. And then at the very, very bottom, or like the last result of mine was, what was it? Oh, it was worship music. It's just not my jam. I know it's some people, they really, it's a big thing and I get that, but I never, that was never my thing.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair. Not everyone's thing.
Not everybody's thing. What do you think are your things?
Well, having not taken the quiz, I'm questioning my whole existence, honestly. I would say the times I feel closest to God are when I talk to him, which is something that often when I say around other Christians, they look at me as though I have three heads, because I'll quite regularly be like, oh, I was talking to Jesus the other day and he said this. And they were like, well, what do you mean you were talking to Jesus? I talk about it very conversationally, and I think it does make me sound like, one, I'm crazy, or two, that I think I'm some sort of super spiritual Christian who has a direct line to God. But I would argue that scripturally we do have a direct line to God, and Jesus spoke quite clearly about, you know, my sheep hear my voice and know my voice. And this would mean something I would have experienced at different intermittent times in my younger years, and something that I fought to become a regular thing in my life. So I pursued it. I pursued tuning in to the voice of God to understand him and know him and be able to talk with him. I am an artist, so I have a very visual imagination, and often God uses that in order to be able to speak with me. And I would say one of the best illustrations I have for trying to describe what it's like to hear God's voice in your daily life and walk would be if I was sitting in a busy pub, and they get very loud in Dublin, very, very loud, because generally then they just start playing music really loudly and you're sitting around a pub then literally shouting at the person beside you. But you know, if you're in a busy pub and somebody walks in the door, you don't necessarily naturally turn around and say, oh, there's somebody walking in the door. But if I was in a busy pub and my mother walked in the door, I'd be like, why is she doing here? Because mother's not really the one to darken the doors of pubs. So because I've known her in my life, you know, I recognize her voice, and my brain in its brilliant capabilities actually recognizes it above all the other noise. And so for me, it's been like a process of tuning into God's voice to recognize it above all the other noise in my life. The other thing that is on par with that would be when I'm studying the Bible, which has been the greatest tool for me to sharpen being able to hear his voice, because you get to know who he is. And if you want to recognize someone's voice, you got to get to know who they are.
Would you say this like, was that like an intellectual stimulation for you to study the Bible, to like dig into it?
I mean, sometimes, yes, obviously you're sitting there with a commentary open or with the Bible open, you're typing stuff, you're trying to learn. So there is an intellectual engagement for sure. But also there's a real emotional engagement when you're just tripping over one voice and absorbing it and going to God. And then the Holy Spirit's doing a weird funky thing with you about this one verse and you're, you know, trying to absorb it all. And then there's the kind of approach of podcasts or sermons or teaching that you absorb in, which is maybe a combination of intellectual and emotional. I wouldn't say that I'm not an academic. I'm not motivated by the academic. I'm not always motivated by the intelligent. In fact, I'm probably motivated by the unintelligent, honestly. So I still think the word poop is funny. You know, that's
it always
so,
will be.
Yeah, it always will be.
Everybody does it.
Yeah, for sure. I think the study of the Bible has deepened my understanding in my head and my heart about who God is, and therefore has sharpened my ears tuning in to his voice. And I sometimes just the detail of the scripture in different ways just comes alive for me. And I, like, again, not an academic, so I just sit there and simply, I mean, I love one commentary. It's Matthew Henry. It was written in, like, I don't know, I feel like it was written in 1500s or something. It's ridiculous, but for some reason it works for me to just spend time with the Holy Spirit and read through and get deeply into a certain book or a certain passage. And I really do find him there.
Yeah, I think I feel that as well. I spent a good portions of my life studying the Bible and the surrounding things around it. Yeah, having commentaries and reading books that are relating to it and all that kind of stuff. I went to Bible school, and so it was
Bible school.
It was fun. I think putting Bible school made things a bit difficult. It kind of takes the charm out of studying the Bible, because like I gotta do this essay, I gotta do this. But I did really connect with the Lord in reading and digging deep into the scriptures and trying to understand more. I think satisfying that craving of, understanding the audience and who wrote what book and who he or she was writing it to. All of the context around it, I think fills in a lot of the gaps in my head of, I don't know. I wouldn't say gaps in my head, but it fills in the picture. It makes it a clearer picture. Like what you were saying, you to connect with God, you have to know who he is, or at least part of attributes of his, and having an understanding of scripture and really seeing him in that, I think is a great way to connect with God. And one, I don't feel like I connect with him in the same way through scripture as I used to. I think it's much more, what's the word? I don't know, much more like contemplative for me now, and wanting to sit in silence and kind of meditate on maybe one or two verses rather than reading an entire book and looking for the understanding of it. But it's more, it's more about being still, I think, for me now, and waiting on the Lord rather than feeling like I have to aggressively ingest and consume in order to feel close to God.
There's two options when it comes to the contemplative and the intellectual study. There's marriage or war. You know, you've got those who approach both of these practices of contemplative spirituality and the academic spirituality, if you like, and are very much so advocating for the wonders of their experience within both of these situations, and then become almost, they polarize. Yeah, let's go with that. So it's interesting when you see that they polarize the other. So the one, if you're a contemplative spirituality is your jam, you may polarize intellectual and spirituality, but if intellectual spirituality is your jam, or intellectual academic scriptural study, then you may polarize the contemplative, but actually what is needed is a marriage of both of them. Mm. And perhaps the most perfect example of that is Jesus's life, where he was somebody who understood, knew, and clearly had spent a large portion of his life deeply studying the scripture because he knew it inside out, and yet had a wonderful contemplative wilderness experiences of going into nature and spending time with the Father, and would speak very clearly about his relationship with the Father. So I think we have a lot to learn from each other, from the contemplative and the academic, and that we should marry those two. And I think if I am contemplative, I need to challenge myself to become intellectual and academic a little bit. And if I'm intellectual and academic, I need to challenge myself into the contemplative.
Yeah. Well said. You made a good point in looking at Jesus's life. I've got this
Yeah,
article
dude
here
who.
that has like nine ways people connect to God. It's on faithfulmoms.org. But I'm not a mother, but it's still a relevant website for me. So let me read this from
Okay.
faithfulmoms.org.
I like that.
Nine
BuzzFeed, faithfulmoms.org. I'm taking
faithfulmoms.org.
notes.
So the first one they said are the naturalist, loving God outside. That's a really common one. I feel like it's hard not to connect with God when you're in a really beautiful place. The next one is the sensates, loving God with the senses. So I think this is a lot of again, beauty, outdoorness, artists maybe who see something that's really
Smelling
beautiful,
stuff.
smelling stuff. What are
Oh,
the
yeah.
five senses? Touching
Well, I
things,
know. You
tasting
said
things.
senses.
Yeah, senses, all five of them. The
Yeah.
traditionalists, they love God through ritual and symbol. There are definitely people who love a good liturgy. They love a good ritual, and I get that. I totally get that. There's a place of like reverence. There's a really reverent feeling during some liturgies that make you feel like, man, I'm really connecting with God in this. I get it. Then the next one is ascetics. I don't know how do you say that word, ascetics. Loving God in solitude and simplicity. Love that. Activists. This is an interesting one. Loving God through confrontation. What do you think about that?
Wow. Well, I guess the activist would be somebody who is very much so by confronting the evil and doing something, and then really experiencing God through that, perhaps.
Yeah, this says the activist feels closest to God when they're standing against injustice.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think that would be very totally understand that.
There's caregivers, loving God by loving others. Makes sense. I love
Yeah.
hosting and having people over and cooking for people. That makes me feel
Being nice to people.
close to God. Enthusiasts, loving God with mystery and celebration.
Oh, these are our worship leaders.
For sure. Contemplatives, like we just talked about, loving God through adoration and meditating and being contemplative. And then the intellectuals, loving God with the mind. Hearing those like nine examples, are there any that you don't connect with, that you don't feel like?
Sure, I would not be super into rituals or the traditionalist or the liturgy or that sort of view. I'm not sure how the senses thing, but I guess when I taste chocolate, I'm like, yes, definitely God exists. So maybe.
God loves us.
Yeah, I feel like I could dabble in quite a few of those, or at least
Right.
have in my time.
There's some of them that I would like to try or like to get better at. A lot of people that I'm close with really love worship music and maybe fall into the enthusiast category. But it's never been my thing. But I know at times in my life I've really enjoyed it. I don't know where I'm
I think
going
the
with
key
that.
is to get good worship music, right? Because the reality is that Christian music genre is a genre and an industry for
Yeah.
which many people write songs for an audience. And then you find the artist who writes songs as though they know Jesus, and that's a bit of a game changer. I find some of the commercial stuff very hard to listen to. But when I find someone like Jason Upton, who's a little bit less well known, although he's getting more well known in the later years. And he's a bit of a lula and he writes wonderful songs about things, conversations he has with Jesus. And I totally identify with him on that.
Jason
And I love him.
Upton.
Jason Upton. Or some of the oldie but goodies, Keith Green and Rich Mullin. I grew up strongly on them.
Interesting.
And you can't go wrong with a bit of Keith Green 1970s pizzazz. And then Rich Mullins is a very interesting story because he began to write music around the time that the Christian genre is really taking off, and he was assigned or no recruited by a label, and they wanted him to commercialize his songs, and he just absolutely refused to.
Good for
So
Rich. Good for
I
Rich.
like
Hold
him a
on.
lot.
So for the last year, how do you feel like, if anything has changed, in the way you relate to God, being in lockdown, not having the same opportunities to do whatever, to be with people, to go outside? Do you feel like it's changed for you at all?
Yeah, well, there's no gathering. There's no, a lot of those nine things that you're describing have been flipped on their head, I guess, in terms of being in a various stages of lockdown and lack of access to people. Prior to lockdown, I was dealing with a chronic illness for since 2015, and the worst years of which were 2016, 17, 18. And during that time, I would have had an undiagnosed chronic illness that I dealt with a lot of pain, some hospital visits, and chronic fatigue is a part of that as well. So my life was massively interrupted by that. And I was an activist, an enthusiast, and a few of those other things, who was bedridden a lot of the time. So my relationship with God began to really adapt around that. And my body had was physically stopping me from going anywhere. And I had to face into a lot of my own pain during that time. And a couple of things adapted in that. So certainly getting used to solitude and silence, forced into it. I'm an extrovert to the extreme. So I get my energy from people. Being alone is not something I would choose to do. And this may force me into learning how to be alone. And I developed a few different kind of strategies of that. There was one book in particular called Solitude and Silence by Ruth Haley Barton. And while going through a physical and perhaps spiritual burnout, she was an excellent resource, and used the story of Elijah underneath the juniper tree to develop principles of how to be in solitude with the Father. Fantastic book. And secondly, a strategy of mine was to put on sea sounds, because I love the sea. And I would put on these YouTube videos of sea sounds, or the Calm app and sea sounds, and just go walk a beach with Jesus and talk to him. So physical weakness greatly aided my imagination to be able to be there with him and to walk and talk with him. Wow. So interestingly, when lockdown hit, I was sort of like all prepped and ready to go with my cool solitude strategies. Woohoo!
That's pretty cool.
What about you? What about you? Did you find similar adaptions? Do you have to do a lot of adaptive things during the pandemic of 2020?
Yeah, I think definitely the pandemic, or like the lockdown, really did change a lot of stuff. I was already pretty good. I'm an introvert on the far end. I like to spend time alone. And so having solitude and silence was not a scary thing, or not a new thing for me. But I'm married and we live in a small apartment in Rome. And so there's not a lot of space to be alone in solitude and in silence most of the time. So we actually had to like plan to be like, okay, well, let's be in different rooms. Let's one of us maybe get out of the house. We really had to actively work to be in different places and to be alone, because there's not many places you can be alone in a like two room apartment, except for, you know, in two separate rooms, but it's not that easy. Oh, and I think also nature, I used to live in the woods and work outside, and I was in nature and connecting with God that way every day. But living in Rome, there's not so much nature there. We do see some trees from our apartment, which is really nice, but everywhere you look, it's an apartment block after an apartment block. And because of the lockdown, we couldn't leave the city. So I took to growing things. And, you know, last year I grew a bunch of peppers, and this year I'm trying to grow flowers. And I think every day I wake up and the first thing I do is I check my plants. I want to see if there's new leaves or new growth or if something has sprouted. And every time something sprouts or grows and I notice it, I'm like, wow, man, that started from a seed and it's growing into something bigger and more beautiful. And I just really see God in that sort of creation, and that it's like, yeah, it's amazing. And even just with silly house plants, Every new leaf is a nice reminder that God is the God of creation, and that even though I can't be in the mountains or at the sea, I can still be and see and observe creation here in my house. And so that's been a really great thing I think the Lord has met me in during lockdown.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You may remember during the last episode that I confessed to being a plant killer.
You did.
But I would like to say that the plant that I thought I killed came back to life and there's a new green shoot. So many spiritual metaphors there. I'm not having much of an emotional reaction to it. I'm like, that's good.
Yeah, these are really cool. I think that they're the ways that we connect with God, you and me even, are very different, and a lot of the people that I know are very, very different. And I think it's a beautiful thing, because like seeing how God doesn't relate to every person the same, and how every person doesn't relate to God the same, just shows the diversity and the expanse that God is. This is a fun topic. It really is. And I think it's the way when people realize, or when people are aware of how they connect best with God, then that just opens up it just opens up more opportunities to connect with God in different ways.
Yeah. I think it's one of these kind of journeys. It's like a, Lord of the Rings style journey. You're just going to take the first step and try something.
Yeah.
Take a first step, say, God, find me. I want to find you, put it out there to him and talk to some other people, ask them some questions.
I think if you connect with God in a way that maybe we didn't talk about in this episode, we'd love to hear about it. You can contact us or follow us on our Instagram and our Twitter at GoMakePod. If you've got...
Connect with us. We want to connect with you.
Well, this has been a good chat.
I hope you guys.
Well, we'll have another episode out here in a couple of weeks. We'll have another guest on, and we're just going to be hanging about who that is, because it's going to be really exciting and surprising. All right. Until next time.
Drop the mic, yo.
Bye.
Until next time. See you soon, our fantastic listening audience.